John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, I know of a surety. And he said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Now I've seen this Spirit many times, and most especially in those that possess it. So I'd ask if the Comforter abides with you. Does the Comforter abide with you? These two verses separate the all of mankind. All men on the earth. These two verses of Scripture right here. The Comforter, the blessed Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth. And that's it right here. Two verses. And you either have it or you do not. And there is no middle ground here, no gray area. Unlike the world and all of these gray areas, God doesn't do that. God's black and white. He's left and right. So I'd ask it, so many, they fool themselves concerning this thing. But the stakes are too high to play games with such. If you turn to the book of 1 John, in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 6, it said, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. And he that is not of God heareth not us. I can't tell you the plain truth of that. I've experienced it. I've encountered it for over 30 years. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And if you look back in 1 John 2:20, he said, but ye, you, those that have the Spirit, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now you consider that. Folks have always asked, how do you know that what you're preaching, how do you know that what you know, how do you know that you have truth, how come you have truth, and you think like nobody else does. How do you know what you believe to be truth? Well, it's right here. The Spirit of truth. And not only that, forever. The Spirit of truth, forever. It's an eternal truth. I received it once, and I received it forever. I'd say I'm betting eternity on it, except it's not a bet, it's a surety. The Bible says, by so much was Jesus, in Hebrews 7:22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. That's what it says. And if you turn to the book of Acts, in chapter 12, you remember Peter locked up, and in starting in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now listen, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know what? Of a surety. Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. How have you not come to yourself as Peter and known of a surety? How can that be? Now, I'll not take the time to repeat my own testament, nor the many other instances of miraculous meetings concerning this surety. I could say, as Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. But you see, I know of a surety. Brother James St. John told me many years ago how he had a desire to write a book. He said, I don't want to write a book of what I think or even what I believe, but what I know. And I've often had the exact same thought. Just simply a book of what I know. But who'd read it? You know, I gave everyone in the congregation many years ago a book by Jonathan Edwards. The title of the book was Religious Affections. It was actually a book of what he knew, what he had experienced in his years of walking with the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. And to my knowledge, not one has read that book till this day. Not one. And probably never will. You simply won't. And so I'd ask, to what has the Spirit of Truth called you? You see, the Bible's about you. It's about me, but this morning I'm speaking to you. The Bible's about you. It's all about you. It's everything about you. And to simply hear on Sunday, that's it, the Spirit of Truth. To simply live a so-called clean life. Oh, I don't cuss or drink or smoke. Maybe you have your plain face and you women, you dress properly and even down to the hair, and the hair is just right. But hey, we've not even prophesied and cast out devils or done wonderful works. And he didn't even know them in Matthew 7. You remember? We spoke of it last week. But bless God, we claim to have the truth. Every Sunday morning, 11 sharp, we've got the truth. How many years did I preach? How many years about your gifts, your talents, and the cross that you're to take up? You. I'm talking to you this morning. When's the last time you've used your gifts? When's the last time we've had a word? If so be you even know what it is. Oh, I forgot. Many of you, and I've known you this long and some before, you got married. You had children. You got a profession. You got houses, possessions, all these things to care for. Oh, I can't come. I've got a yoke of oxen. I've got a wife. I've got this. Perhaps you've even forgotten the very invitation once extended to you. Did you ever read how much of the Bible was about the families of the disciples? Oh yeah, that's right. Hardly any. Actually, quite the opposite. Turn to the book of Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 19 through verse 22. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me. Let the dead bury their dead. Do you see it? Surely he doesn't mean it. Well, I don't know. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Oh, this one verse has caused more trouble in the ministries I've been involved in or witnessed than any verse I know. That one verse. Look at verse 37 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me, not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Jesus had a family, had a mother, and he had brothers, and he had sisters, biological. And yet when they told him, your family's here, he said, that's not my family. You see, we're Christians, aren't we? A lot of times, I know a lot of people have accused me and say, preacher, but you use such extreme, you think these verses aren't, you think this book is not, you think this God, you think Calvary is not extreme? Because that's God. We serve an extreme God. He required some of his men to walk naked. Can you fathom that? See, we have no we think that things are phenomenal, but one man walking naked through the earth 3 years. Or one man, as you've heard, he told him to go down to the river and bury his underwear there. And then go dig them up and wear them. And then told another man to eat human dung. And then he gave him a break and said, no, you can eat cow dung. I said, we serve an extreme God. His people passed through the fire, were fed to lions, imprisoned, tortured. Preacher, why do you do this? Oh, would you rather I preach smooth things? Things that tickle the ear. But you see, I can't do that. I cannot do that. Because the Spirit of truth. Look around and what do you see? He said, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. I would ask this morning, are you not surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses? These verses I've given you, that they seem almost impossible. And they are to the world, to the natural man. And if they're impossible to you, it's because that's the fold you're in. With those that receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Let me ask you, what natural man, excuse me, could take his only son, Isaac, up Mount Moriah to be offered a burnt offering? What natural man could do such a thing? I'm asking. And listen, if you don't get that, how can you get Calvary, an extreme God that allowed an extreme act upon his extreme only begotten Son? You see, if you can't get all of that, you truly cannot get Calvary. And that's why the vast majority of professors never truly receive the cross. They cannot first receive Mount Moriah, and they're stuck in the natural. Any wonder that Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Luke 14. And then, of course, he said, as we come, he said, bear his cross and come after me. Oh, you don't know your cross. You don't know your talent. Perhaps you don't even know your gift. So what are you bearing or taking up? What is it that you've taken up? I know something about talents. I'm doling them out right now. As if you're hearing the sound of this voice, these talents are going out. And they go out each and every message. But are they hid? Or are you taking these talents and making gain? Because I've seen not fruit nor interest from the matter. Not even a word. Preach, pray, or die? No. But bless God, go to church every Sunday. Or at least listen on a piece of plastic. You don't murder, steal, commit false witness. You honor father and mother and neighbor. Amen. There was a man like that, a rich young ruler. But what lacked he yet? Jesus said, go and sell that thou hast. And now a lot of people miss here because that doesn't have to be money with you or I. It was with him because that's where his heart was. They think money, but it might be a husband or a wife or a father or a mother or a possession or a profession. What is it with you? I've already mentioned what it is with most, but you don't hear. This I know of a surety. Now, shall you also go away sorrowful? Or as stated in verse 29 of Matthew 19, shall you inherit eternal life? This I know of a surety. I hope that you've received the Spirit of truth. How and when, I would wonder, did becoming a Christian only entail dressing and acting a certain way? Cults do that. I don't think Elijah, Elisha, or John the Baptist got that memo. Leather girdles and camel hair sound a little more bandito to me. You see, I'm a Christian because I know of a surety. And because I received the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth. It abides in me as sure as the breath of life. I think I told you a man I was dealing with a couple weeks ago. He said, you mean if you had a son or daughter that was he used a different word, but I'll use the biblical word, sodomite. He said, you'd put them out? And I said, I sure would. He couldn't believe it. He doesn't have the Spirit of Truth. He couldn't believe it. The Bible says from that time in the book of John, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Excuse me. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" You know, I had that thought this morning. God gave me this spirit many, many years ago, and I learned and I gleaned from men of God. Where are you going to glean from? This old preacher won't be around much longer. Where are you going to receive this spirit of truth? But that it be in you. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Can you, sir? Can you, ma'am? I can speak that only of a surety is such known. It's a surety, this spirit of truth, this comforter. That's the glory of it. It's a surety.